Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From John the 10th chapter, the first 18 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not which things they were that he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now in this passage, Jesus is presented to us in several ways, as he is in Scripture. They all show our relationship to him, such as the vine, we're the branches. He's the head of the body, we're members of the body. He's the cornerstone and the foundation of the building, we're the living stones. He's the king over his kingdom, we're the citizens. But I suppose of all the pictures of Christ that is probably the best loved is that which portrays him as the Good Shepherd. The land of Jesus, the land of Palestine, was familiar with the shepherd scene. Since the days of Abraham, and maybe even earlier, the inhabitants knew and understood the fortunes and experiences of the shepherd and the business of sheep keeping. Jesus drew upon that knowledge to depict important truths regarding himself and his people and the relationship between them. There are two major presentations in the text that use the same word to picture. One emphasis is upon Jesus as the door of the sheepfold, the other on Jesus as the good shepherd. Verses 1 through 6 is the scene of a sheepfold where sheep are kept overnight. It's like a corral. The porter is left in charge until the next day, and he opens the door for the sheep in the evening and the morning. Each shepherd knew his own sheep, and the sheep recognized the voice of its shepherd and would follow when called. Verse 7 through 9 presents Jesus as the door of the sheepfold. Now keep in mind, the sheepfold was the place of safety and comfort and protection. It served to shield the sheep from the elements and the wild beast, as well as preventing the sheep from being scattered into the darkness of night. An entrance into the fold was through the door. Friend, God has provided the sheepfold, which is his church. Here is the place of salvation and protection from the ravages of sin and Satan. Those who are saved are added by the Lord to his church, Acts 2:47. And Christ is the Savior of the church, Ephesians 5:23. The only way one may enter into this haven of salvation is through Jesus Christ. Just as the sheep must have proper nourishment and food and water, they must go through the door to reach it. This is not picturing an entrance and exit of the church, but simply shows that the sheep must use the door to gain their needs. So must mankind go through Jesus Christ to obtain the spiritual nourishment that's necessary for him, for he is the only way, John 14:6, and there is no other, Acts 4:12, because all spiritual blessings are in him, Ephesians 1:3. One cannot climb into the spiritual sheepfold any other way than the door that God provides. One cannot go in and out for spiritual nourishment except through Christ. Christ is the door, the only door. False teachers, pictured as thieves and robbers, cannot provide. But Jesus as the door is not the major portion of the text, but rather the second application of the shepherd scene is the more important. For here Jesus draws a contrast between himself and false shepherds, showing what he does for his people. Now a false shepherd is a hireling, not primarily concerned for the welfare of the sheep. His chief concern is himself, his gain, his personal welfare. When danger threatens, he flees, shirking his responsibility, leaving the sheep exposed as prey to whatever danger might come against them. Is this not what false teachers do? Do they not pervert truth and go the way of men, leading them into spiritual poverty and starvation, condemnation, destruction? Many in the day of Jesus were false teachers, as false teachers continue to exist even now. They have little concern for the flock, but great interest in their own gain, their own fame, their own glory. They preach and teach what is necessary to bring them such things, being more like financial profiteers than keepers of the flock. Jesus is the good shepherd who seeks the good of his sheep. I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly, Jesus said in verse 10. Because of Jesus, mankind can have a full, abundant, sufficient, successful life, both here and in the hereafter. He's the kind of shepherd that would sacrifice himself for the benefit of those in his care. In fact, Jesus did exactly that. And he said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Verse 11. David was that kind of shepherd when he placed his very life in danger by wrestling the lion and the bear to save his sheep. We read about this in 1 Samuel 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verses 17 and 18. And in these words, Jesus had reference to his forthcoming death and his burial and resurrection. And all of that demonstrates his concern and his sacrifice for his sheep. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 10, teaches us of God's distaste for wicked shepherds. Let us hear it. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field, where they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to escape from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Dear listener, a good shepherd goeth before his sheep, leading rather than driving. He protects, he seeks the lost, he takes his flock to the still waters and to the green pastures. Jesus struck a stinging blow at the pride and the self-righteousness of the Jews when he taught the Gentiles as well as the Jews would be included in his flock. He put it this way, Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And I want you to notice, just as there is one shepherd, there is also one fold, and that is his one church. One of the favorite passages of Scripture for every Bible student is that great shepherd psalm, Psalm 23. As one reads it, he is impressed with the emphasis of the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. It is a passage that fills the heart with hope and comfort. It serves as a reminder of the bountiful blessings for man provided by the shepherd. Without the Lord, we would be scattered sheep, lost and in danger. Man in sin is pictured by Isaiah in Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way. What a magnificent, almost inexpressible privilege it is to have the Son of God to be the shepherd over our soul. But there's one other consideration we need to see. We have noted Jesus as the door and Jesus as the shepherd, but the implication is that we are the sheep. To admit we are sheep is to admit that we need guidance and we are helpless alone. It is to admit that we can and do go astray, get lost, and wander. And though our shepherd is good, are we to conclude the sheep are without any responsibility? Did not the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, being familiar with it? Are we not to familiarize ourselves with his voice through his word? Did not the sheep follow where they were led? Are we not to follow where Jesus leads us? Can we rebel and refuse him and still expect his care to provide for us anyway? And while we observe the greatness of the shepherd, do not overlook the duty that belongs to the sheep. Peter pictures Christ as our shepherd, 1 Peter 2 and verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now turned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. There awaits, friend, the gift for those who follow the shepherd. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And while this is said specifically of faithful elders, the principle is true for every sheep. As one has said of the loving care given the flock by the good shepherd while we are here on earth, and remembering the ultimate glory, he said, All this, and heaven too, this is the blessing of having Jesus Christ as our good shepherd. But friend, if one is not a Christian, he is not the Lord's sheepfold. He's not in the sheepfold of salvation. None of the benefits belong to him. Even as the Lord longs for you to be counted among his sheep, this is a matter that each must decide for himself or herself. He is willing to be your shepherd throughout this life and into eternal glory. But you must choose to be his sheep. And even now through the gospel, he calls to you. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.